Right. I want to greet you all this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father and His Spirit that is in the world and the Father that sent Him into the world just to reveal who God is to us. It's just such a blessing. Something really to be thankful for. Just that in this world of deception and confusion all around us, that Christ is who we can look to see who God really is. Satan tries to paint the picture of God as somebody who He isn't, so people will be afraid of Him, or they'll turn from Him or run from Him. And that's what Satan wants. He loves that. He loves confusion. He loves destruction to keep us not seeing God who He really is. And it's just a blessing that whenever we look, when we try to, we actually open our eyes that we can see who God is. And we can strive to be like Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your goodness and for Your mercy to us. We thank You, God, that You revealed Yourself to us, Father. That You're trying to reveal Yourself to the whole world, Father. Lord, I pray that the scales would fall from our eyes, that we could get a glimpse of You and see You as You really are. Again, we just thank You. Fill us with Your Spirit. Help us to be like You. Give us wisdom and understanding as we walk through this world. Again, we just thank You in Jesus' name. Well, I'm a little like Brian. I don't much like poetry either. It just doesn't do much for me. But I do like the thankfulness that we read in the Psalms, and just that David exalting God and who He really is, and we can learn from those things. But just a blessing again. Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 15. Beginning in verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. And then I want to turn to Galatians chapter 6. Brethren, verse 1, even if everyone is caught up Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourselves, so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and therefore thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in the regard to himself alone, and not in regard to another. For each one will bear his own load. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. All right. This morning I want to talk about, basically, kind of build around verse 7. Do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, this he will also reap. I started in John chapter 15 to give the picture of the vine dresser, of the man. You know, we've got trees and we're fruit trees, and we want them to produce fruit. That's the purpose for the tree. And so in order for them to produce fruit, you have to put effort into that tree. You've got the tree, and if you just let it go, it'll just grow wild and just do whatever it wants to do. It just and produce very little, if any, fruit at all. But if you want it to grow fruit, you have to prune it, you have to fertilize it, you have to water it, you have to do all kinds of things to take care of it. The point I'm trying to bring out there is that there's a responsibility that we each have. Okay, we can't create a fruit tree. We can plant it, we can water it, and we can tend it, but we can't just create it. It's got to be a fruit tree before it'll produce fruit. And after that, it's completely up to us. One of the biggest falsehoods or the biggest ideas of the gospel is that if we pray and just get alone and get apart all by ourselves and just really, really, really think about God, He will just begin to produce fruit in our lives, and our lives will just blossom, and we'll just be wonderful people because we've prayed long enough, or because we've studied long enough, or because we've believed that what Jesus did for us when He died for us, good enough, if we believe that strong enough, that fruit will just begin to grow. Completely opposite of what it takes to grow fruit in real life. God doesn't give us examples. He didn't give us this world to take care of just to say none of that matters when it comes to your soul. It's just all going to be done for you. In this world, in this life, weeds grow everywhere. You don't have to cultivate them. They just grow. Everywhere you look, they just come up. Just left to themselves, a man left to himself, what happens? all this stuff comes up. And he just begins to follow what comes natural. And he begins to produce things in his life that are bad, just like weeds. Our soul is a fruit, is a garden. And if you just let Satan sow a whole bunch of seeds in there, and you just let it go, you can just pretend to be religious all you want to, but if you just let your garden grow naturally, you'll have a jungle. And that's all. You'll have a mess. Your life will just be a wreck. Everything just out of order. Chaos. By just letting it grow. Just letting it go. It's easy. Just do what comes natural. Just follow the path that comes your way. And just let your garden grow. God has given us examples all around us of what happens when we do that. That's what grows in the wild. Weeds. But if you want to grow a garden, if you want to be a part of the vine, you've got to get yourself in the vine. You've got to put yourself in the vine. How do you do that? How do you do that? You recognize, you see Christ and who He is. You hear, you listen to that voice, that Spirit of God in you that's teaching you that you can do better. That you can do what you need to do. That you're not, what you're doing is wrong. And He's trying to show you and trying to lead you into something better. And you get yourself in that vine and you start pointing towards the direction. You turn your life around. That's what repentance is. It's just seeing that my garden is just a complete wreck. And now I'm just going to turn around and start in my garden, just like I would out here in the garden. If this garden was full of weeds, all kinds of junk, all kinds of rocks, all kinds of trash in it, do I just sit on the edge of the garden and say, "Oh God, please clean my garden. Fix my garden for me, God. I've let it go." Is that what I do? Oh Lord, please send somebody to fix my garden. Is that what we do? Is that how the rocks are going to get out of your garden? Is that how the weeds are going to get out of your garden? Is that how the branches and the briars and the brambles and maybe the little trees are going to get out of your garden? Because you've just let it go? Is that how it's going to happen? Absolutely not. Just because Jesus died for you, just because Jesus died for you, is your garden just going to get better? No. But because He died for you, because He died, your garden can be cleaned. How do you clean it? You go in there one step at a time and you start pulling weeds as they are in front of you. And as you're pulling those weeds, you see a rock, you pitch it out. One little step at a time. One little weed at a time. You take your hoe and you weed out a weed. You pull out a rock. Sometimes you got to get an axe and cut a root out and dig it up. But that's how you clean the garden. And that's how you clean the garden of your soul. It's not something that just happens one time and it's done. Nothing in life goes that way. That's why we have life. That's why we have time. That's why we have each day to wake up and work towards something better. That's why we're given another opportunity. Each bright morning is a brand new day for you to start pulling weeds out of your soul. And you can start throwing rocks out of your soul. And you can start cutting the briars and the bramble. And you can start digging them all up. And then begin to plant the seeds that God wants you to plant in your soul. That's why it's so important to know who God is. There's a song, "Oh, to be like Him. Oh, to be like Him." People pattern their lives after heroes. The world has sports heroes, singing heroes, all kinds of heroes, race car heroes, every kind of hero, and people pattern their lives after them. They buy what they buy. They do what they do. They drink what they drink. They eat what they eat. The world makes a fortune off of selling the idea that your hero does it this way. That's why Jesus came into this world, to show us how to do things God's way. Jesus came representing God the Father. He came and saying, "I know what you've heard about God. I know what you see. All your rules and all the things and all your religion and all your bitterness and all your hatred and all your envy towards everybody else that doesn't believe like you do. I'm going to cut through all of that. I'm going to show you what He's like. I'm going to show you what He's like." And He did. And He was here and He taught us as an example of how to be. You know, we've spent several years just trying to pull out all of the weeds of all of the religion and all the garbage that we were taught and what was expected of us as being a Christian or being a follower of Jesus that had nothing to do with following Jesus. It missed following Jesus. It missed Him being the center of what we're doing. It's about Jesus. It's about us making Him our hero and following Him. Putting into practice what He said, how He taught us to live, how He wants us to be. He didn't come dividing and separating and trying to form a religion. He just came and He was what God wanted Him to be. And that is what He wants us to be, like Jesus. That is the simplicity of this message. That's the purpose. And when you get your heart to where you love God and want to be like Him, that's being in the vine. Then does it just all start happening? No. Then is whenever you have to go to work on your soul. That's when you have to start looking at all the weeds growing and start pulling weeds. That's what repentance is. That's what bringing forth fruit meat for repentance is. Does it mean you're perfect all at once? No, not at all. Is that just an excuse? No, it's not at all. It's an opportunity for you to be what Jesus wants you to be like your Creator, to reflect His image in your life. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Don't be deceived. What you sow, you will reap. And we have an opportunity. We've been given a great privilege to sow the things that God wants us to grow. The good things that can make us the people of God and what He wants from us. It takes effort. It takes work to produce fruit. It doesn't come natural. Like we've expressed about in the garden, all around us, in the world. It doesn't come natural. It's something that we have to work for. We have to apply ourselves to it so that things can grow. That goes with every area of our lives. Jesus said that to love God with all our heart and our neighbor as ourselves. To love, you know, we've got the idea that love is another one of these magical things that just comes upon us and it's just going to be there. That it's just going to be there. In our relationships, love takes constant cultivation to maintain it. You have to work at it. You know, people get married and they're all in love. In the first year, everything's rosy. And then the second year, you just think she ought to still be rosy, but she ain't. Or he ought to still be rosy, but he ain't. And you just kind of let weeds grow in your relationships. And they just grow, and they just grow, and they just grow, and they choke it all out. Love has to be maintained. It is nothing to be taken for granted. It has to be worked for. You have to continue to court your wife 50 years. It doesn't just come naturally. I think that's one of the big things, the big keys that we miss. We take love for granted just like we take God for granted. Oh, I got saved. I'm good. I'm following Jesus. I go to church. I'm good. People talk about a personal relationship with Jesus. A relationship with Jesus is when you're letting Him, you're in the vine and you're letting Him prune you. You're letting Him fix you. You're letting Him make you like Him. It takes effort. And whenever your relationship gets a little bit of stale, we tend to want to go the other way instead of going back to what you have to do in your garden every year. You know, once you get your garden cleaned out and you plant crops in it one year, what happens? The next year, you got to do it all again. Everything in life has to be maintained all the way to the end. And that's what God is trying to show us when He rejuvenates the world every year and it turns spring. He's showing us that things have to be maintained. God put Adam and Eve in the garden and He said, take care of it. You watch it. And that's the way it is with our souls. We turn back to God and we see our garden's a mess. And we start fixing it. And then we get it kind of cleaned out. We get one or two rows. There, I got it. I'm going to go sit in the shade and just watch my garden grow for years and years. To seek the Lord is to look at the next row and start working on it. It is effort. And then next spring, you know, you've got to go back to the first row you started in. And make sure it's clean. It's a lot easier to clean this year. The roots aren't as deep. So you can pluck them out. And you get past them. And then you can go on and take a little more. You can take a little more. This life is a step-by-step process. And all that you are required to do is to take the step right in front of you. Just take the step that's right in front of you. It can become so overwhelming and so complicated to see this huge mess that we've made. And how am I going to fix all of this? You fix it one little step at a time. Just like you start on a journey. You know, if I talked about walking to California, I could imagine myself going through the desert without any water. I can imagine going up the mountains, freezing. I can imagine all kinds of things and never move an inch. But if I want to get there, I start one step at a time. One step at a time. And that's how we produce fruit. That's how we prune our garden or clean our garden. It takes effort. We've got to want to do it. That's how we maintain our relationships. It just doesn't happen. There's times things get crossways. You got to go back and fix them. And you think you get past some of those things. And you got to go back and do the very first things over again. But you got to do them. You can't just forget those things and let them grow and go on to something else. You got to go back to where the weed sprouts and work on that. It's kind of interesting here in Galatians. Talks about fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. We can see all the bad things that are there. The fruit. And that's what we think about reaping sometimes is, oh, I don't want my seed to grow. All those bad things. But the fruit that we're shooting for are these things. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Cultivate these things in your heart and in your life. They don't come natural. They don't just pop in there. It's not just because you're born in church. You know, we can make some of these things appear. We talked about one time about synthetic fruit. We can put on a face. We can be a hypocrite. We can put this appearance. But it's not real. Real fruit grows. I talk about the time whenever I was growing up. I was like a tree. And I would have things grow on this tree that I didn't want. I'd swear. And so I'd try to shake that fruit off of that tree. I would lust and I'd try to shake that fruit off the tree. And I might shake it and then anger or bitterness would pop up over here. And I'd shake on that and two or three other things would pop up over here. And I was just trying to create a tree that looked good. But I had to get to the root of the problem. I had to turn around. I had to turn around. That's why John says, lay the axe to the root of the tree. Turn. Not just quit doing the bad things, but turn your whole heart away from yourself to God. And when you turn, you start the bad tree, the bad fruit starts falling off. And then you can start pruning those things and it'll grow. Good things. You've got to have that repentance. You've got to have that turn, that change. And then you can go to work. A lot of people try to improve themselves or try to just appear better. But they never fix themselves. They never fix the repentance. They never fix the heart. They never turn from themselves to the Lord. They never put Jesus and being like Him, making Him our hero. We don't want that. We don't want that for ourselves. We want us. We want our way. But He's called us to turn. These things, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, fruit, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. You sharpen a knife by rubbing it against sharp or a hard stone or a hard surface. That's how you grow fruit. You know, people say, well, don't pray for patience. Well, if you ever want to become a patient man, you've got to go through that. If you ever want to know love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, you're going to face all of the opposites or the things that will come your way to produce those things, to allow you the opportunity for those seeds to grow. We don't want that part of it. We want to sit on the edge of the garden and say, oh, let her grow, Lord. But that's not the way it works. If you don't have patience, you know what's going to have to happen? You're going to have to get tried so that your patience can grow. You want to love? You're going to be put in with people who don't love you. You're going to face people who are going to be against you and don't love you, and you've got to learn how to love them. You've got to resist all the natural weeds that want to grow in your life, and you've got to learn how to love them. You want peace? The way you learn real peace is going through storms. You know, there's a lot of times, a lot of these tests come and we fail them. We don't grow by them. We fail. That's when you get back up and you go through it again. And you go through it again. And you go through it again. Until you finally make it through, and then you get one probably double what you had before to produce those things. It's effort. It takes work. Patience, kindness, goodness. How do you think you learn those things? You just decide one morning, I'm going to be a good person. Well, that's a good start. But usually what happens is you get opportunities to be good. You get opportunities to show kindness that you have to choose. You have to see. You have to make those efforts. Gentleness. Self-control. These things don't just come easy. They've got to be worked for. You've got to go through the test to produce them. That's how you produce fruit. That's what you do in every area of life. And then we get to our soul and, oh, God's just going to magically put it on us. That's nonsense. That's why there's so little of it in the world. That's why there's so little of it in the world. Because people are sitting around waiting for God to do it all. Instead of producing it. Instead of letting God do these things in you. Instead of pruning your garden or pruning your trees and cleaning your garden. Picking up the rocks. Instead of actually looking at Jesus and saying, that's what I want to be. That's what I want to be. That's what the church is about. That's what the body of Christ is about. People that just want to be like Jesus. That are walking through this life. One day at a time. One step at a time. Sometimes we do good and sometimes we don't do so good. But we learn from when we don't do so good. Pick it up and go again. Righteous man falls 7 times and he gets back up. We're not looking for the perfection that everything's just all right and I can rest. We're looking for the perfection of getting back up and being like Jesus, falling and getting back up again and going again. Learning, growing every day. Now, verse 24, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh and its passions and its desires. You know, we look at the crucifixion and that didn't happen in 1 second. He had to die. And it took a while for him to die. And that's the way it is with us. There's things, you know, there's things that are easier for us. Some things just fall away, it seems. Some weeds you can just pluck right out. I don't want them anymore, and they're gone. And then there's some that's got deep roots that you gotta pull and dig and pull around to get out. You gotta die to those. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, that's something we do. It's not something that happens once. We live by the Spirit. Let us also walk by the Spirit. This is an all day, every day, until we die process. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. This is what happens. This is what happens. This whole chapter is talking about how not to be what was happening. The normal effects of religion. The focus of it is me producing. Me growing fruit. Fruit growing in me. Like I said, I can't produce the seed. I can be in it. But then it's up to me to take care of that garden. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. That's what happens in religion. That's what Jesus came to dispel. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man sows, this will he also reap. So then, while we have opportunity in verse 10, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Verse 9, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. You know, sometimes you try to grow things and it just seems like it takes a long time for it to grow. But eventually, after you've fought off all the predators and all the bugs and all the weeds, you can produce a little fruit. Sometimes in this life, we just don't see much. We just don't see much. We just see ourselves. And I think it's a good thing that keeps us from being boastful and seeing, well, I've arrived, or I've done this, or I've done that. But sometimes we don't see these things in ourselves. But don't get weary. Don't faint. Don't give up. We will reap in due time. See, the promise that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, we can see the results of the bad things we've done right away. A lot of times, they come right back at us pretty quick. But a lot of times you sow the good seeds, the seeds are eternal. You just hardly ever see anything. You just hardly ever see it. And it gets discouraging. It gets depressing. What am I doing this for? You want to give up. You want to get tired. You want to get weary. But the promise that we see happen in the bad, the promise that we see and we know happens when you sow bad things, we know that grows fruit. That's how we know it's true, because we see the bad things. But don't get discouraged. Just as we see the bad things grow, the good things will as well. If we don't faint, if we don't give up. Make the desire of our heart. Put as much effort into your heart as you'd have to in a garden that you want to grow. Produce, plant the seeds in your soul. Pull the weeds, pull the rocks. Get Jesus as the idol that you want to be like. Get Jesus as the person, your example. Find a man that's pursuing those things. Not that you're trusting in a man, but learn from them. Learn from them. You know how many times I've just longed to find men that I could just walk with and trust. And they're there. You know, I don't despise the men that I learned from, that I still don't want to follow now, because I see that they're going a different way. But I appreciate them. I love them for what I learned from them. I love what I learned from to be like Jesus. This is not a one-time thing. I don't reject, I don't regret the groups that I've been a part of through my life. I don't despise them, because I learned something there. They were just part of this life that I'm living. They were just a little part of the garden that we go through. And the people that we meet and work with and live with and see, maybe we just meet one time, they can be a part of our life. As we walk towards eternity. As we walk towards eternity. May the Lord add His blessings. Don't faint. We will reap in due time those good things. We already see, you know, some of the children, are already reaping some of the blessings of your parents' struggle and work and effort to try to provide you a good garden that you can just grow in. Don't take it lightly. They're looking out for you. Don't just take it as, oh, I'm part of the church, This has to happen to you. You have to grow your own garden. You've been trained. I can train a puppy dog. You have to choose this. You have to grab it yourself. You have to work your own garden. You have to want to be like Jesus yourself, you young people. It's not just going to come naturally because you've been trained right. That's a blessing. that you've been trained right. But for you to follow, you've got to fix those things in your heart yourself. You can put on that little image, that little shell that fit in. You can say the right words, say the right things, have the nice little calm demeanor all your life, whatever. Going to church, learning all the Bible verses, learning all the doctrines. But you've got to get it in your own heart. You've got to embrace being like Jesus yourself. There comes a time when you've just got to let go of all of those good things. Just like you take a plant and you put it in a greenhouse and you shelter it and protect it. You don't protect it so it never faces the elements. You protect it so it'll be strong enough to face them when you do put it out there. We hide in these little shelters of our church and our doctrines, and we hide in them instead of getting out there in our garden where the weeds grow, where there's rocks, where there's real things out there that I have to make a decision about myself. You have a garden. And just keeping it all isolated in a nice church is not growing fruit. You know, there's places that nothing grows. In a desert, doesn't get any water. There's places that are salt deserts, nothing grows. You know, they can look pretty nice sometimes. Nothing grows there. And I think that's what Jesus was talking about whenever he came to all the religious people that rejected him. They appeared on the outside full of beautiful things, but inside they were full of dead men's bones. And that's what happens to second generation churches. We can just keep all the appearance. We never get tested, never get proved. We run from everything that disagrees with us. We just run and hide instead of looking at me. Am I biting and devouring one another? Am I boastful, challenging, envying? That's what happens whenever we're not tending our own garden. We start to look at everybody else's garden. And that's what we're taught. You don't agree with me, boom, you're out the door, excommunicated. I'm not going to have nothing to do with you. You might pollute my dead little garden that won't grow anything. That's not going to impress God. We've got a garden our own. We've got to tend it. We've got to sometimes go through dry spells, waiting for the rain. Sometimes we've got to wait around in mud because it's too wet and the sun isn't shining. But you got to be willing to go through those things so that you can begin to grow fruit. Thanks, Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. Lord, we just ask your blessing upon us as we strive to be like you, Father. We pray for the brethren that have won't fellowship with us, Father. We just ask you would help them, Father. Lord, that you would help us be patient. Lord, that you'd help us to remain in the vine, Father, whatever comes our way. Thank you for the struggles. Thank you for the hard times. Lord, help us to be thankful in all things. Forgive us, Lord, where we fail you, Lord. Help us to see the patient example of our Lord. In Jesus' name. Anyone have anything you want to share?
Jesus loves me, or Jesus died for me, and I always would tell them that he's done his part. You got to do yours now. Mm-hmm. And I have thought about that for a long time.
Praise the Lord. All right, well, God bless you. We'll meet back here at 6 o'clock this evening. Pray for each other. Faint not, by the way.
Go! Children.